The US President Joe Biden is due to speak to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu later today. The call will come as Israel's strikes on Lebanon and Gaza continue and as speculation continues about how and when Israel will respond to last week's missile strikes by Iran. Last night, Mr. Netanyahu urged the Lebanese people to throw out Hezbollah or risk the sort of suffering and destruction seen in Gaza. A short time ago, two people in northern Israel were reported to have been critically wounded by Hezbollah rocket fire. Dr. Vincent Jurak lectures in Middle East politics in the UCD School of Politics and International Relations, and he joins us now on the line. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
What do you expect Joe Biden to say to Benjamin Netanyahu tonight?
That's an interesting question. He might apologise for some of the language he's quoted to have used in relation to Netanyahu in the recent disclosures in Bob Woodward's new book. But more seriously, it looks as if Biden's ambitions in relation to Netanyahu and in relation to Israeli behaviour are comparatively limited in a sense. It seems to be the case that the US is not really pursuing a ceasefire between Hezbollah and the IDF in South Lebanon, and is more concerned to exercise whatever leverage they may have, as sources have put it, to shape the nature of Israel's intervention, and indeed, of course, its likely response, as you've just noted, to the Iranian attack.
When Iran struck Israel earlier in the year, President Biden urged restraint, and Israel listened at that time. Is this time very different?
Well, what you see over the course of the last 12 months is a pattern whereby, for the most part, when Biden calls for restraint on the part of Israel, for pause for thought, the response of Netanyahu and his government has been largely to ignore that and do whatever it is that they see fit. So notwithstanding that moment in response to the first Iranian missile attack, for the most part, Biden's influence on Netanyahu seems to have been very weak indeed, as I think is now becoming clear from those disclosures regarding Biden's own personal attitude towards Netanyahu and the extent to which he seems to think Netanyahu simply cannot be trusted.
Of course, Joe Biden's critics would say there's a powerful lever he hasn't used, and that's curtailing America's arms exports to Israel.
Absolutely. And, this goes right to the heart of the problem. On the one hand, you have these calls for restraint, quote unquote, on the part of the US administration. On the other hand, you have the fact that the US is plainly and simply the most significant political and, of course, military supporter of Israel. And the unwillingness to use the influence and the leverage that would issue from any limitation on US arms exports means that the US is caught in a position where it poses as a neutral actor that is interested in pursuing ceasefires in various points of this spreading conflict, but on the other hand is actually seen in the region and indeed by many others as actively supporting one side, namely the Israeli government.
Looking specifically at the situation in Lebanon, Israeli military officials have repeatedly described their invasion as limited and localized and targeted. But given that their focus has expanded, I suppose the fear will be that this will drag on.
This is a fear that is widely felt, I think, obviously by external observers, but also very widely felt by many in Israel. Some support that, but many are extremely concerned at, to use that cliche, mission creep. And the simple reality that to secure the sort of control over southern Lebanon and the limiting, if not eliminating, of Hezbollah's capacity to target northern Israel, to secure the sort of control that would enable the return of the 60,000 or so Israelis who've already fled northern Israel, and which is supposed to be the raison d'etre of the intervention in Lebanon, will require a lot more than Israel, the IDF, has managed to undertake so far. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Dr. Vincent Jurak, thank you very much for talking to us this lunchtime.